We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and our class begins with my friend Mike. Mike comes home, and his wife says, "It's so hard to wash the floor. After fighting the kids, put them to bed. I've been working on my feet all day." And Mike is listening, and Mike goes, "Susie, I'll wash the floors. No problem." So Mike starts washing the floors. Mike is washing the floors day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven, day eight. Every time, Erev Shabbos, Matzei Shabbos, he's washing. And he feels very good about himself because here poor Susie told him how hard she works and how hard it is to wash the floors, and he came and washes the floors. And to his surprise, already on day one, forget day eight, he comes home and he's scrubbing the floors, and Susie comes in and says, "Hey, Mike, you won't believe what kind of day I had." And Mike goes, "Really? Well, you're not scrubbing the floors." And he's smiling, and she looks at him, and she has this sour look on her face, and he says, "Susie, sit down, grab a drink. I'm scrubbing. You don't have to scrub." And she says, "Yeah, but you wouldn't believe it. My shoes are driving me crazy." And Mike goes, "Well, why don't you go get yourself new shoes?" And she says, "I don't know which type of shoes." And Mike goes, "Why don't we go to the store tomorrow?" And Susie goes, "Where do you have time?" And Mike is scrubbing away. And Susie working back and forth. Finally, okay, they figure out a time. Mike is going to lose his lunch break because he's going to... Fine. Next day, Mike is home scrubbing, whistling away. He's scrubbing the floors. Susie walks in. "Mike, you won't believe it." "What's up, Susie? You must be so happy." "No, Mike, it's terrible. The kids drive me crazy at bedtime. You know how long I have to fight them? This one gets up and that one gets up. This one wants a cup of water. That one wants a cup of water. I'm so wiped by the end of bedtime." Mike goes, "Susie, no problem. I could put him to bed before I do the floors. The sad part of the story is that it's true. None of this is made up. Maybe..." He's not a slave. The only part of the story that's made up is the names. Everything else is pretty accurate. So Mike starts coming home to put the kids to sleep, and Mike is starting to wonder, "What kind of wife did I marry? You know, I'm the breadwinner. I get out of bed at 4:30 every morning. I run out to work. I get home at night. I'm putting the kids to sleep. I'm doing the floors." And as he's pondering this, Susie walks in and says, "Mike, you know, it's not so easy to burp a baby, feed a baby, and make the kids' lunches for tomorrow." And Mike is gritting his teeth and smiling and saying, "Yeah, it's tough." But two or three days later, after he's heard the whining time and again, so Mike is already making lunches. Now, Mike is a really good friend of mine. And I saw this happening. And Mike still hasn't figured it out. He's married over a decade, still hasn't figured it out. There are a few things at play here that we have to learn. Number one, our tendency is to be Mr. Fix-It. Number two, our tendency as men is that we rarely share emotions. And if we share emotions, it's because we want something practical from the other side. Women can have a kvetch fest. You know what that is? We sit down and, "My labor was so terrible. It was 3 hours just sitting there in pain." And the other one goes, "Yeah, I know. I also had those hours and hours." And the first one goes, "And the nurses, they don't begin to understand. You think they weren't women." And the second one goes, "You wouldn't believe what type of nurse I had." And a man is standing there watching. And we could watch this. We don't understand it. You know, it's like...
Yeah. I was in a bus once and I had this kind of conversation with a bunch of girls in the back of the minibus. I could hear every word. I could not understand a word of what they were saying.
So it doesn't have to be about labors. It could be about a toothache, it could be about a dentist, it could be about a husband. It could be about shopping, it could be about the weather. It could be about the schlep home, it could be about the crowded bus, it could be about the traffic. Two different conversational styles. If I come to you and I say, you know, my shoes are driving me crazy, so you automatically think he's asking me, where do you get good shoes? Right? But when a woman comes and says, you know, my shoes are driving me crazy, what did she say? You know, my shoes are driving me crazy. That's all she said. She didn't ask you for a solution. So we have two things at play here. One is that we're used to being Mr. Fix-It. Two is that we just have very different conversational styles. Now, what's ironic is that sometimes you end up with a bigger problem because poor Mike is standing there scratching his head and saying, what does she want from my life? I can't do anymore. What's she complaining for? What is she complaining for? Answer. I didn't say attention. I didn't say that yet. I said, number one, that's part of her conversational style. I didn't say she wants attention or empathy. We'll get there. But first, this is part of conversation for her. And you'll ask me, so then what does she want from me? Ah, then maybe she wants empathy. Maybe she wants appreciation. But firstly, she didn't ask him to wash the floors. So what happens next? He's washing the floors. It's already the third month he's washing the floors. She's coming in at night and she's going, Mike, this is terrible. You know, the freezer is so cold, handling all the food, taking it out. My hands are numb. And he's looking at her and he goes, I can't believe you. I'm doing the floors. I'm doing the lunches. I'm doing the bedtime. You want me to do the freezer too? And she looks at him and she's like, you're right. And she walks away crying. And he runs after her. What are you crying for? I don't understand you. And she goes, you're right. And he's like, no, so explain. So she walks away. And then after a few weeks, one day they can actually have a calm conversation. And she says to him, did I ever ask you to do the floors? And he goes, oh, so you don't appreciate it now. So I say, I did it. And she said, I didn't say I didn't appreciate it. He said, then what'd you just say? What did she just say? She said the truth. She never asked for him to do the floors. He heard her ask to do the floors, but she never said it, because in her language, all she did was say, this is hard.
Manipulative, that's what it is.
Her attention was asking him. Yes, it was. It's either way, it's a lose-lose situation. There's no getting out of stopping when he started washing the floors.
That's the best funny kind of shit.
No, Mike.
So I watch my dad and my mom all the time. I observe them from far. I take notes. I see them over and over again. I go, Dad, why are you doing that to yourself?
If you come away with nothing from this class other than it's a lose-lose situation,
then the class was a failure, yes.
So far, it's lose-lose.
Wait, so all women complaining all the time like that?
Slowly. We'll get there. But I'm saying the first thing we have to realize is that we talk differently. So when a woman shares her feelings, she is not asking you for a solution necessarily. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. So what should be the reaction? Yeah, it is really hard. You do work so hard. Now here you've done something which men don't know how to do. You've given empathy. You've shared emotion. Yes, guys, emotion. Yes, it's a word. It's a living part of humanity. And to my mind, it is possibly part of why Hashem made men marry women. Because we each have to gain something from this relationship. It would have been much simpler to have men marry men and women. Well, I don't know if they could marry women, but men can get along fine with men. Women with women is more complicated. But men could get along fine with men, and Hashem didn't do that. Hashem didn't do that. So then, obviously, women have something to gain from the relationship with men, and men have something to gain from the relationship with women. And when a man starts learning how to communicate, with his emotion, he also starts coming in contact with the emotional part of the world, which us men rarely do. Think about it. Which words do you use? Which words do we as men use in our vocabulary? What do you say? That was fun. That was great. That was cool. Yes? Okay, what else do us macho men say? Yes? Think about it. Which verbs do you use? Which adjectives do you use? What do you use to describe things? Okay. Tell me the worst day in your life. What are you going to say about it? What?
Terrible, awful.
Yeah, what do you say about the worst day of your life?
Sucked.
Yeah, what do you say about the worst day of your life?
I don't remember it.
Michael, describe the worst day of your life.
I don't know, I can't think of it.
Are we supposed to think of
it? Describe sitting in class with the most annoying teacher. You're just out of high school, right?
It's probably something violent, like one of the teachers brains out or something.
Okay. Now, let's do the opposite. Describe your birthday. Go ahead, describe something fun.
It was sick.
Okay. Now, notice something. In all of your descriptions, you spoke about it. You didn't speak about me. You didn't say, I love it. It was so, I had such a good time. I felt so at home. I was so sad. I was so bothered. I was annoyed. Yes, but even think about it. These are words that you would never say. Maybe you would, but most men wouldn't. I'm saying most men don't talk that way. You want to talk to me about my emotions? Me, emotional? I care? I feel? That's such a weird thing. What, me? What are women going to say? They're going to talk to you about their emotions. So what do we automatically do? If she's talking about her emotions, let's get out of this conversation, because there must be a problem here. Tell me what the problem is. I'll find the solution. So part of what we can learn within a relationship is about our own emotions, other people's emotions. Emotions exist. And women walk away from these conversations at least as frustrated as men. If you guys think it's funny, it goes the other way too. Meaning they walk away and they're frustrated. I can never talk to him. He doesn't listen. He doesn't understand. And you look at her and say, what didn't I understand? I don't understand. Right, you don't understand. But you said that it's hard to do the laundry, the cleaning, the lunches. Did I say I want you to do it? Well, then why'd you say it? I said it because I'm a woman and women express what they feel. Ah, but she's never going to answer you that one. Don't expect it. I don't know of any woman that'll tell you that one. You don't get that far in the conversation before an explosion happens and everyone's all frustrated with the other one. So stop. She expressed emotion. So now step two is share the emotion. Feel with her. Care for her. And then if you want to be so bold, you could ask her, do you think that if I did the floors, that would be a help? And she might look at you and say, hey, dunce, you went to those classes for too long. What do you think I'm telling you for? See, sometimes people take this to the opposite extreme. I got an email with a whole long complaint to whom it was really upsetting me. She says, I'm carrying the bags up the steps. And I tell my wife, my husband, it's so hard. And he says, I feel so bad for you. And he doesn't think to take your bag. What you teaching there? So guys, she doesn't always mean share the emotion. Sometimes she means grab some bags, right? So, yes.
I noticed what you say this guy. He's not really good, but he talked about how that his wife, she said that she was at a difficulty because she told him about this dream that she had, right? And it was like this terrible dream that drove her crazy. What did he do? He had his newspaper. He's like, while she's listening to what she's telling him, like her dream. And for her, it really disturbed her. For her, it was something big. And he just kept on reading his newspaper. And she said at that point, she turned around and started crying. And she went to bed that night very, very sad, very upset. And he's like, well, what? I was listening. I was reading the newspaper. Like, you know, it's not that big a deal. But like, yeah, what you're saying, like, it's just a connection I got that for them, they need to feel that you're connecting to them on the emotional level.
Okay. Yeah. So what did we cover so far? We said that men don't usually talk emotion. For sure not their own emotion. Women do. Men interpret that as something that's goal-oriented. They didn't say it that way. Men approach conversations in a fix-it mode. And both sides end up frustrated. What's the solution? Share the emotion. Share the feeling. And then explore if there's more that's really been said. So far, so good. Yes?
Why is the orientation that we have to match their mode of conduct behavior as opposed to, I don't mean it's smart, I'm really asking, why is the orientation saying, okay, they speak differently, we speak differently, we act differently, they act differently. But you're telling us in order to make this relationship work, we have to match them as opposed to them matching us.
Well, meet in the middle.
Exactly.
Yes, maybe they just match us, we meet in the middle, I think.
So, but we're not talking about meeting in the middle, we're talking about matching.
Because we're men, and if we talk to women, maybe we say the opposite thing, and then we'll meet in the middle.
So the question was asked, why are we describing the men compromising towards the women and not discussing the women also learning men's form of speech and meeting in the middle, if you'll call it that. So there are multiple answers to that question. Let's begin with Adam. What was Adam's sin? So, according to the Medrash, that wasn't Adam's sin. Adam's sin, according to, okay, there are different Midrashim as to what he did wrong, but according to one Medrash in the Pirkei of Eliezer, it says he didn't even know what he was eating when he ate it. So that's what he's held accountable for. So there's a discussion among the commentaries. One understanding is that Adam's sin was that he didn't have appreciation for his wife. Meaning, when God came and asked him what happened, so Adam said, well, it's the woman you put here.
And
he was really looking at her as a burden, as she's the source of all the problems. Instead of saying, you gave me a great gift, and she's wonderful, and in this, she misled me. No. It's the woman that you put over here with me, she's the source of all the problems. To my mind, when Chazal teaches us that the story of the Garden of Eden is supposed to teach us perspective on many things in life, it also teaches us that perspective, that us men have this perpetual flaw of lacking appreciation for our spouses. So it's not only what Larry said, which is, I'm talking to you, so when I talk to them, I'd also tell them to come towards you. It's not only the idea that this is an angle which I think us men have to develop anyways. It's not only because it takes one to tango and I happen to be talking to you, and that any marriage can work if one side is willing to work on it and try to understand the other side. It's also because we don't see how much they do on our behalf, and every man is convinced that his wife is very far from up to par, and she doesn't begin to appreciate how much he's doing for her. And that is a male flaw that's, I think, by all men. I mean, it's something that men have to work on their whole lives. You see, Adam had it. The beginning of mankind had it. So that's why it's true. If I were talking to women, then we'd discuss understanding men and the capacity to communicate with them, because it's in their interest as much as ours. And it's true that it takes only one to tango, and it's true that this is an aspect where I think men stand to gain a lot from learning women's way of discourse. But putting all that aside, it's also true that women are doing so much more for men than men are doing for women, and they are suffering so much more in a marriage than are men. And so I definitely think that the fair thing is for men to take whatever steps they can to go in the direction of the woman, and not to say, let's meet in the middle, but rather, I'm going to do as much as I can. If Chazal tell us, you know what, you've been to enough classes, so you know this from many other examples, but Chazal tell us that mitoch shedimata mitzuya o nata kerova, being that she tears more easily, that means that she gets afflicted more easily. That means a man is more thick-skinned. So as much as things bother him, and as pained as he is, you have to multiply that tenfold to appreciate what she's going through. Which again, we don't appreciate. We don't have a concept of that. To us, if she bursts out crying, then she's a crybaby. We don't understand that she cried because she felt as much as it would take 500 insults to get me to cry. We don't understand that.
I think what I was trying to say was, you run the risk of how we speak and how a woman speaks. But when every issue is emotionalized, that's not healthy either. That every issue, whether it's garbage, whether it's floor, whatever it is, in terms of sharing your life together, if everything is charged emotionally, that's also very difficult. It doesn't always have to be fraught with emotion when you ask someone, could you please do this? And so if men are ill-equipped to deal with that, then women also have to realize that not everything I ask has to be charged emotionally. That's the compromise.
To a degree, but I think that it's not the end of the world if men learn to work differently.
I don't disagree, but I'm thinking there has to be an understanding between a couple that, yes, I will relate to you emotionally and listen to what you're really saying about it in terms of it's hard to scrub the floors, but at the same point, the woman has to realize or come to understanding that I don't have to ask every question that I ask of him with an emotional charge. It's not...
I hear what you're saying, but let's just remember what we discussed last class. You remember the framing? We discussed it?
Right.
So if you imagine that every conversation, every sentence is... Do you love me? Can you take out the garbage?
That's what it is.
So, you remember we discussed that. So, if that's a part of their nature, do you love me? Could you pass the salt? So then, and that's part of the sensitivity we're supposed to have. Do you love me? Are you serious?
That's what maybe, yeah. My little sister, she used to go, "Mommy, I love you. Can you do this for me?"
Okay. So what we said is that. Us men also frame our conversations. Meaning, if I had to frame it, then I would say, do you appreciate how smart I am? That's what babies do. We also are framed. Meaning, we also... you following what I'm saying? So, obviously, we're oversimplifying and we're generalizing... But that also gives us a perspective on the emotions that are charged with everything that's discussed. It's not a question of the garbage. If you really loved me, you would take it out with a smile. Or you would say, I wish I could.
If you really loved me, you would have taken it already without me asking you to do
it. Okay, right.
You said in the previous class that the reason that Chava was not born automatically together with Adam was that so that he would appreciate her.
Okay.
No, I said if he didn't appreciate her.
Right, look at that. Hashem tried, Hashem, so to speak, did whatever he could to give us that appreciation, and even so we messed up, right? It's just like all those people who are bachelors for 20 years, and then they finally find the right one, and then how long does that last for? Okay, you'd think he'd appreciate her, but he'll have a million reasons to tell you. I would, but you have no idea what type of person she is.
Maybe he is worse off than he was as a bachelor.
No, because all of marriage is worse. Meaning, when you see a beautiful marriage, what you're seeing is the product of two people who are willing to work. There's nothing that's going to work on autopilot. And even a person who worked on his midot is not equipped to deal with the challenges of marriage. You could be a very, very nice person. But within marriage, you run into frustrations and misunderstandings like the ones we're describing, and then you feel like, I don't get this. With everyone else I could manage, I had roommates, everyone loved me, everywhere I was people liked me, no one has a bad thing to say about me. How come with her I can't make it work? And the answer is, because she's a female and you're a male, and then there are the intrinsic to the relationship, there are going to be things that we speak a different language. For example, this. It's so hard to wash the floor. Honey, give me the mop. He finishes mopping and she's still with a sad face, and he looks at her and says, what do you want me to do? And she says, I want you to cook supper. And he's like, supper? Where'd that come into the picture? And she's like, well, you weren't listening. And he says, what do you mean I wasn't listening? You said you're upset you're doing the floors. And she says, right, I didn't say I want you to do the floors. But what did he hear? And in marriage, it never plays itself out this clearly. What happens is he's looking at her and she's looking at him and each one looks at the other and yes you did, no I didn't, and then it becomes a spat. Yes you did, no I didn't, but you did, I told you I didn't. Okay, and you don't even know, you don't remember it with the accuracy we're describing it now, because we're describing it all as 1, 2, 3. What really happens in real life, you don't even know where it all starts. I didn't hear you. Right. And in the moment, if you didn't come to this class and learn what's going on, so then in the moment, what you have is frustration. And you say to yourself, I thought I married a truthful person. Now she's saying she didn't ask. And in your mind, you heard she did. You won't remember what she actually said. She might. Yes.
Also a theory that I had that a lot of problems in marriage, and it's something I saw with my own eyes, that it stems from a lack of communication. Because I've heard some people complain, you know, you don't want to be married, it's a pain in the tuchus, and it's you know, it's not worth it, and all these negative stuff. And I'm like, okay, think back to when you were single. Is that really fun? Do you want to go back to that? He's like, is it that bad that you want to go back to that? And he thought about it, because they're an honest person. He said, no. No, I don't. And I said, yeah, right. So when we are frustrated, we kind of forget to see marriage in the eyes that other people see it. Like, what if I could pull myself out and say, I view my marriage the way other people view my marriage. Look how lucky those people are to be married. Look how lucky they are to have somebody to be with, right? What if I could be my marriage for that? And what often keeps us from doing that is this lack of communication, this lack of, I don't know what else to use, but communication. That they don't really know what the other wants because they are different and they don't know how to work with those differences. Is that a fair assumption or is it kind of off?
I think that, as we go through the semester, we'll see that there are many components to the lack of communication. And there are many components to the frustration that ordinarily accompanies marriage, and so it's a part of it, but there's a lot more to be said. We'll see as we go through. Yeah?
Let me just expand a little bit on what Ori said. Sorry. I don't think it's so much a lack of communication as a lack of appreciation, as in we become very blind to the good things that we have because we take it for granted and then we only see the bad things. I mean, like, how many of us really think, wow, like, Baruch Hashem, I can see, I can hear, I can smell, I can touch, I can walk, you know, like, all these basic things which we should really be very appreciative of, because if you woke up tomorrow and Chas v'Chalila you couldn't walk or something, you'd very soon be very upset that you couldn't walk, so, I mean, you should also be very happy every day that you can walk. I think it's the same thing with marriage, that you get all these extra things that for maybe the first few months or whatever, I guess you appreciate, but then you kind of begin to take them for granted, and then everything that's not working out, you see that, but you don't see all the good things that you've already become acclimatized to, kind of.
Okay. So, there's one more point to think about. You guys touched on it a little bit. And that is the idea of appreciation and the idea of empathy. There's room to discern between the two. People very often don't know how to give either one, nor do they know how to receive either one. And that we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, explore next week. One point, for example, is... you stub your toe, and your wife says, "I'm sorry," and you say, "Why are you sorry? You didn't do it." And she says she's sorry. She's not apologizing. She's sharing empathy. "I feel bad for you." But we don't understand it that way. There's no milk in the fridge. And she says, "I'm sorry." And you say, "No, it was my job to buy the milk." She didn't mean to take the blame. All she meant to say is, "I feel for you." So we will discuss Be'ezrat Hashem empathy versus appreciation next week. And there's one more point, which if we're already touching on emotions and speaking with emotions, this is a very powerful tool that I usually wait until the end of the semester to mention. But it fits with what we've been discussing tonight, so we'll stick it in here. The couple have an agreement that they won't leave the car on empty. The husband comes home. He has to rush out with the kid to the doctor. The car's on empty. No gas. He has to walk in the rain with a sick child, go get a canister filled with gas, drive down to the gas station, fill it up, and he comes home and he's very upset. "Didn't we agree that we wouldn't leave the car on empty?" She looks at him. "You're right." Starts crying. He looks at her and says, "Now I have to apologize? I don't understand. Am I wrong or am I right?" She says, I said you were right." "So then why are you upset?" "Answer, you yelled at me. But I'm right. I'm not going to apologize. Life doesn't work that way. Just because you're crying doesn't mean I'm going to come and apologize to you. Are you right?" Meaning she'll say, "Yeah, you're right." But deep down inside, are you really right? Or did you just express your anger? So this pertains to many areas. A couple agrees they won't spend beyond their credit card, beyond their salary, beyond a certain amount. Husband comes home, sees the wife did. Now, what are his choices? Whatever he does, he knows he's going to end up having to apologize. So what do you do? Answer, stop dealing intellect, start dealing emotion. You come home and start crying. Don't start crying, look upset. She looks at you and says, "What's wrong?" And you say, I don't want to discuss it. I'm feeling very hurt. Sounds like a game. Uh-huh. Women get so upset when I say this. I get so many complaints after this class. I don't know why I keep doing it. But it's true. Try talking to her on an emotional level. Don't tell her you're not fair. This isn't what we agreed on. Just talk emotion. Don't talk about her. Talk about you. Because if you start talking about her, you'll end up talking about her. No, you know what I mean. This isn't fair. This isn't what we agreed upon. Now she's hurt. Now you have to appease. Now, no. Okay. So go the other route. Start talking her language. You know, I got to the doctor, and I was so hurt when I saw that I would have to take the child out in the rain and schlep down to the gas station. And talk hurt. Talk emotion. Now you're talking her language.
Isn't that cruel in a way?
Tell me why. I'm listening.
Because she does it because that's her way, right? But you're doing it because you've been
Because you want to communicate to her. And if you're going to communicate your language, she's going to be hurt, right?
Right, okay.
So what choice do you have?
So you say, it's a list of two evils, so to speak. You're saying,
no, it's a way of communicating what you want to communicate in her language.
And that's what she wants to hear from you, rather than you getting angry with her.
Right. Because what's she going to say? What'd you have to get upset at me for? So I was wrong, you're never wrong. You had to yell at me? You had to be upset at me? I didn't yell. Yes, you did. Who's yelling now? Of course I'm yelling after you yelled at me. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
That's just going around in circles. That's it.
You're not getting anywhere. What's your alternative?
You've lost already before you even started.
I would expect that on most occasions you can come in and talk rationally and talk calmly and talk sweetly. But then there are going to be times when you feel you have to get a point across. You try it one way, you know what's going to happen. So I'm just giving you a tool to communicate what needs to be communicated in a language that she speaks without hurting her.
And she'll appreciate that to a great extent, because then she feels she's communicating with you on a deeper emotional level and she understands you better.
I'm not guaranteeing that much, no. Because to give a negative emotion doesn't make her so happy.
No,
I'm saying.
At least she knows that you're trying to connect as opposed to.
Don't look for brownie points in this conversation. No. you're trying.
So establishing limitation, the way you're saying.
What? You're establishing?
No, I'm saying damage limitation, in the sense of.
No, I'm saying you want to express it.
You want to communicate to her, so maybe that's what you're saying. It's not.
You can't keep living with this credit card debt, right? What are you going
to
do?
You have to speak to her, so and she understands that.
Right. It takes time to learn how to do it. You know, it's easier said than done. But it's a direction of communicating with her form of communication. Yes.
So would it be okay to say something like, I find it really frustrating when I get to the car and I find that the gas tank is empty?
Why are you accusing me? Do you know what I dealt with the kids? Do you know what life was like this afternoon? Do you think it's fair that after a day like this you came home and you tell me how frustrating it is? Yeah, I know what you mean. You're pointing 10 fingers at me, not one. You're making supper.